This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Kira, thanks so much for hopping on the Hub this evening to chat all about that story out today about the possible risks of using period tracker apps. On the surface of it, it could come across a little bit scary, a little bit shocking, some of the data that's coming out from that. So will you give us a summary, I suppose, in layman's terms of what this story is telling us today and this research?
So the research basically was warning about the dangers of using period tracker apps, because what people don't seem to realise is that all of this is data, and you kind of look at it and you think, what would anybody want with my cycle tracking data? But it's actually, and at the very, very least, it is a goldmine for advertisers, because you know, they like to target things and you give away so much information on these apps. But what this report was cautioning was that not only could this app data be sold to third parties without your, I suppose, explicit consent in some cases, that it can also be a risk to your personal safety. And this isn't the first time this has actually come up. A couple of years ago, a lot of women were being urged in the US to delete period tracker apps, because with the reversal of Roe v. Wade, with that being struck down, it meant that a lot of states were banning abortions, were banning terminations of pregnancy. They were, in some cases, women were being prosecuted for having miscarriages or stillbirths. And what they were saying was, this data can actually be weaponized against women. So, and it's something that actually has come up in the course of this report as well, where, you know, police have been told in cases where there are stillbirths that, you know, one of the guidelines is to look at the data from period tracker apps. And obviously that raises a lot of red flags. And, you know, it's very easy to say, well, we just don't use them, but people kind of need them to track things. They like to be able to monitor cycles for various reasons, for health reasons, and you shouldn't be fearing that your data will be used against you.
Is this type of data actually allowed to be like sold and distributed the way that it potentially could be, though? Is it hidden in the T's and the C's? Are we not seeing it?
This is the thing. So it depends on where you are. So in the US, there's a lot less protection around your this type of data, because I don't think it's classed as medical data as such. And medical data has a specific protection. And in the EU, where obviously we're under EU regulations, under GDPR, and in the UK, there are protections for this type of data. But what this report is saying is they're not implemented enough, and they're not implemented stringently enough. So you could be signing away, I suppose, we never read the terms and conditions. Nobody ever reads the terms and conditions. Anybody who says they do, you know, I've yet to meet one person who religiously kind of combs through those terms and conditions to see exactly what they're agreeing to. Most people just skip right through it. So you don't know exactly what you're consenting to, because you know, in theory, you know, you've been told, but in reality, most people don't have the time to comb their way through all those pages. So there is protection there. But as this report says, you know, it's often not implemented stringently enough. And often what it will take is for somebody to complain before an investigation is launched. You know, they have to know what's happening as well. You know, it's a bit of a weird area, I think. And again, it comes down to the fact that people don't, I suppose, put a value on their data. They don't put as high a value on their data as it's actually worth. So this type of data, you know, a lot of people use period trackers to say keep track of their menstrual cycles for various reasons. And for some people, it will be because they want to have a baby. When we get to this point, you know, you are now the ideal consumer, because if there's one thing I remember about having babies, it was that I spent a lot of money on stuff, and I got a lot of ads targeted for stuff. And this kind of data is an absolute goldmine for advertisers and the people who are selling it on. So I think it's up to everybody to be aware of what they're agreeing to when they sign up to these apps. And this is why, as part of this report, they were calling on the public health authorities in different jurisdictions, like in the UK, the NHS over here, that would be the HSE, to actually create their own tracker apps so that people could use them without that kind of commercial element coming into it.
I can't be the only one in the country seeing that report coming out today and just being absolutely horrified that there would even be a way to, we'll say, capitalize or make money off people putting data into an app for family planning reasons and getting targeted with ads. Like, it is just mind-blowing. And it just goes to show as well how careful we have to be about, you know, letting our data out into the digital world nowadays, but regulations wise, does anything need to be tightened, you know, to ensure that this maybe is more explicitly told to people signing up for these particular types of apps, or what do you think?
I think if there's one thing we do in Europe, it's regulation. You know, there is a lot of regulations covering this and what companies can actually do with your data, and they do have to seek your permission for it. However, you know, as I said, people often will kind of not think twice about it. They don't really see the value in this data. So the regulations, all the regulations in the world can be there. But if people are kind of agreeing to, you know, the use of their data, there's, you know, it is a bit of an area, I suppose, where it could be tightened up. But I mean, it would take, I suppose, you know, a government to say you can't use this type of data at all. But then does that really work? Because there's always going to be a legitimate use for this type of data. I think, you know, it's particularly because it's so personal, because, you know, if you're using one of these period tracker apps, you're putting in your cycle data, you're putting in your moods, you're putting in potentially any medical conditions that you might have that influences your menstrual cycle, you're putting in your sexual activity, your contraceptive choice. And the fear is that this type of data in the wrong hands could be used against you. So your employer could discriminate against you because maybe, obviously they're not supposed to, but, you know, we all know that it happens, that they decide, well, this person is obviously trying for a baby, so I'm not going to give them that promotion because I'll just have to fill that role. Again, illegal, but it happens. You could be discriminated against by your health insurance company because, you know, you have to go to the doctor 3 days a month because you're anemic. You know, all these kind of things that you don't really think too much about. And then there is, I mean, at the moment, you know, obviously you have the political landscape is another consideration. At the moment, you know, you might live in a country where things are a bit more liberal, but as we've seen, stuff changes very quickly. And then you have this type of information being weaponized against women. So when a lot of the states in the US started cracking down on abortion services, women were advised to delete the apps off their phone or to turn off location tracking if they were visiting a family planning clinic where these services were offered, so that they couldn't be tracked. And that brings a whole new element to it. So I think we just have to be more aware. And if you feel your data is being misused, you know, it's up to us to complain about it as well.
Is there a way to safely track your period then in an online way or in a digital sense, bar getting up, you know, an actual physical journal? Is there?
I think this is the way the physical journal actually wins out. I mean, you could use a calendar, the calendar app on your phone, and use your own kind of your own code for it. I mean, you know what's in your calendar. It may not necessarily be of use to anybody else, but I think in this case, you know, an old physical notebook might come in handy. It's just one of those things that if you are particularly bothered about it, calendar app, like the built-in calendar app on your phone, or potentially just writing it down, pen and paper. It's probably pen and paper is probably the easiest way to make sure the data stays in your control, because obviously, depending on the calendar app that you use, you might be signing up to all sorts of things that you're unaware of.
Well, look, Ciara, thanks so much for all of your thoughts and insights on that story out today. Ciara O'Brien, tech correspondent from the Irish Times, they're talking about the warnings that we're getting about using period tracker apps at the minute.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.